It's Assassin's Creed Mirage Week, and we're here talking with Ubisoft's narrative director, Sarah Beaulieu, for Assassin's Creed Mirage, and the voice of Bassem himself, Lee Majdoub. In it, we talk about the importance of identity, both in Bassem's struggle and Majdoub's life, as well as the importance of keeping history intact and using Assassin's Creed to teach others. Listen to Suara Salih's interview here.
First off, I just want to say, Mabruk, this is amazing.
Thank you.
The first time in such a long time that we've had an Arab and Swana hero who's actually played by an Arab and Swana person in a video game, and we're still overall so bereft. And I just have to ask you what it's like for you to play the first Arab assassin since Al-Tahir, and what you think this will mean for other Arab and Swana players.
Wow, that is a very good question. It's hard to put into words. I mean, I've had a very personal relationship with this game and the team here and the story that we're telling. Bassem, struggles with identity in the story and trying to figure out where he fits in and what he wants to do with his life and knowing that he's meant for something greater. For me, a big part of my life in my early 20s, like late teens, early 20s, I really struggled with being Middle Eastern and that identity and, shunned it a little bit. Didn't want to speak the language anymore. There was a lot of prejudice in life. So it was, it was just easier to kind of like shove it aside and pretend I didn't have that background. And then, for the last few years, a big part of my journey has been falling back in love with my culture, being Lebanese, being Middle Eastern, not shying away from admitting that I am a Middle Eastern person. And then about 8 months before Mirage, I reached out to my mom and I was like, Mama, I think I want to learn the language again. And so we just, 3 times a week, we'd be on the phone, and she was teaching me Arabic. She would send me stuff. I was going through the alphabet again and Duolingo, and she was sending me, she was in Lebanon at the time, because they live in the States, but she was in Lebanon. So she found Arabic education book. So she would take pictures. She was at home in LA. She would take a picture, send it to me on WhatsApp, and be like, okay, read this, tell me what you understand, what you don't understand, and then we would just go through it. And then we were doing that, and then 7 months after starting, Mirage came, and one of the big things that the team was asking was, do you speak Arabic? And I was like, yeah, comfortably now. I'm quite confident in it. So it's so multi-layered for me, and so many parallels, the planets aligning and right place, right time. And I don't know how many words you can put to it, just like meant to be, higher power at play. But yeah, and just to be a person of color, Middle Eastern, Swana, definitely, I think there's so much more work to be done, right? I still don't think we have much representation. And for us to be getting representation in video games more than we are in film and TV it's something to be said for the video game industry, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
We're telling, I think for a while now, video games have been telling deeper stories than a lot of film and TV has managed to do. Developing deeper characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one advantage the video games has that the film and TV doesn't is that it's so, the game player is so involved, right? So they're kind of experiencing it themselves. And in this one, they get to experience 9th century Baghdad, the golden age of Islam, the positives of what our people were able to bring to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to tell you.
Long-winded, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that was good. That was great. Please keep going.
That was intense.
I have to tell you, for myself as a Kurdish American, growing up, I sometimes felt the same way when I was a teenager, like I didn't want as much. But yeah, becoming older, like learning better Kurdish, and my family's actually from Kurdistan of Iraq, northern Iraq. So this is I'm very fascinated with the history. This is such a fascinating period of history in Baghdad and West Asia writ large, with the first fall of the Abbasids that's taking place due to their political infighting and external pressures, such as the Fatimids and others. So this is a question for both of you. What do you hope players learn about our part of the world from this historical setting?
Well, many things. First of all, as I was saying earlier, we have discovered Baghdad ourselves, you know, as a team. Because when we started working on the game, nobody knew what Baghdad was at that time. And I remember just saying to people in the team, oh, we're going to do a 9th century Baghdad. And you know, the team doing like, well, was there something at that point in Baghdad 9th century? What is it? And we slowly learned everything about it, and the historians kept, you know, filling us with stories, with characters and everything. And one of the first things that struck me is how, you know, ashamed I felt, like, not knowing anything about it, you know, since now. It's like I didn't learn anything about it in school. I don't know anything about it. Why don't I don't know anything about it? What? Why? And we know anything about, you know, Greece, ancient Romans, you know, and why don't we know anything about that? So soon enough, it became a responsibility for us as a team to bring back the, you know, the glory of Baghdad and what it was at that time. So what I really hope people will get from the game is how glorious the city was and how, you know, important it was in terms of history, the culture, so the House of Wisdom that you can visit in the game, and you have a quest there and everything. The House of Wisdom, it was a place of, we don't know everything about the House of Wisdom. We don't even know if it was a building, really, but we know that it existed. And, you know, lots of scholars there, people translating very important books. If it wasn't for them, maybe the books wouldn't have survived, you know, until our days. So it's fascinating to see. And the Banu Musa in the game, so the brothers, the three brothers, they are like, you know, crazy inventors who built some crazy stuff, and nobody knows. We know everything about Da Vinci. We don't know anything about them, but they had a similar impact.
Right.
And that, you know, so slowly it really became like a responsibility for the team again. And I hope that people will understand how important that city was and what it brought, you know, widely to the world itself. You know, I mean, it was one of the biggest city at the time, and one of the most important cultural hub.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope people, and what I loved about the city and what was very interesting to work on as a writer was the multicultural hub that it was, in terms of, you know, different ethnicities, different languages, different, and everybody was mixed, you know, in this city. It was, yeah, fascinating. And you can feel that in the game. You can hear different languages speaking at the same time. You can see different outfits, different, you know, ethnicities, and it's amazing to watch. Actually, you can just sit on the bench and watch people and hear music, and you can hear people playing music in the streets, and yeah. So I hope that people will feel immersed in what we think Baghdad was at that time, and that's our reconstruction. That's very that was a responsibility. Yeah.
I mean, I felt like, you know, being a Middle Eastern background, I didn't know much. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, so it's like, I still have a lot to learn about, you know, where so many of us, like, come from historically. And to realize that it was so multicultural, you know, it was like a kind of meeting epicenter of, like, trade and art exchange and science and communication and collaboration. And I think, I don't know, for me, I always thought, like, historically, you go back far enough, it's like everybody's isolated in their own little bubble. You know, you've got Iraq is just Iraq, and then, you know, Northern Africa was just there, and then Europe just had its thing, and everybody had their skin tone and language and everything. But you realize, like, oh, it was a melting pot.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and something I just, like, while you were talking, I just realized, I was like, oh, you know, doing, like, your genealogy tests and everything, looking at, like, my percentages of everything, it never occurred to me that it's like, oh, you're maybe mixed with a bunch of stuff because of hubs like that. Like, there's Persian in my blood, there's Iraqi in my blood, there's North African, there's the Levant, there's the, like, northern Eastern Europe
yes.
area. Like it's mm. all like the Mediterranean, like Cyprus, and,
yes.
and like I'm, and you and then you piece it together. You're like, oh,
yeah,
that
sure.
makes sense actually, because
yeah.
everybody was mixing, everybody
yeah.
was engaged. It was so vibrant and
yeah.
A place of learning. And
yeah,
it's unfortunate that a lot of people don't know that. And hopefully that'll be one of the things. I mean, Assassin's Creed
yeah.
typically as a game has done such a good job at being historically accurate. And it's so cool to be part of that and show historical accuracy
yes.
with regards to the Middle
and,
East.
Yeah, and in the game we have a codex that is dedicated to that, so you can actually wander the city and gather some codex, entries, and just read about the House of Wisdom, this character,
oh, that's
or
cool.
this place, or you know how the market used to work, the bazaar. That's fascinating. Yeah.
I'm just so excited to play the game. And what you both are describing about the internal diversity of these countries, that's so refreshing, because way too often in stories about the Swana / MENA region, we often see, I will say, an Orientalist flatlining
mm.
of like how these countries are portrayed, very monotone, very like one note, and
yeah.
without any of the cultural richness. So, Sarah, I'd love to ask you how you and your team, I understand you involved Arab and Swana people to create such a beautiful
yes.
depiction of Baghdad in its golden age. And with this internal diversity, with everything you're talking about, I'm wondering if you could elaborate more on your creative process in this regard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So when we started working on the city, we started with the books. That was the first step. Not many books about Baghdad 9th century, serious books. And then we slowly brought the historians in. So we have at Ubisoft, we have our historians, like very possessive to say, but that's
mm-hmm.
true. That's all historians. And slowly we called some experts from outside. So people who had dedicated their life to Baghdad 9th century or to the Middle East in general at that time. So, and we worked with them very closely. So they would feed us with some, anecdotes. Characters and everything. That was the first step, I would say. And for example, Ali ibn Muhammad, so the leader of the Zend Rebellion, he's one of my favorites. And when I learned about him in a book, like two lines about him, and everything was in two lines, like the character was there already. We digged into it and we tried to find some other sources about the character, but a lot of them were contradictory. So we took some liberties in that. Form, because we needed to build on what was existing, but what was existing was not, consistent sometimes. So we did that. And at some point, very early on, we had this team. So it's a team inside Ubisoft who is dedicated to making sure that we don't do any mistakes in terms of, for example, languages. That's a very big stuff. And, checking the accents, making sure that the actors could actually, speak Arabic or speak Chinese, because we have Chinese characters. It was the Silk Road, so we have Chinese characters. We have people from East Africa. We have people from Turkic people. We have
Persian,
obviously. Yes, we have a lot of different people. So we needed to check that. So they were dedicated to this. And also making sure that inside the game we wouldn't do any mistakes, in that regard. So that was actually a blast to work with them, because when I speak about it, the thing that could have been a problem for us would have been to have major constraints, sorry for my English. But it was not the case at all. It was feeding us, on the contrary. So it was very inspirational, and they had this very... they brought a lot to the actual creative process, and in a very always in a good mood and always willing to help and everything. And the choice of the accents and the actor's background, because what we call the master voices in video games are the voices like Lee, who are the first ones to record. So they are the ones we work with, and that's the English speaking people. So we have the master voice in the game that is English, and that's Lee, and that's Shorey Akdashlu. For example. So we had the choice to make, do we take, just English speaking actors, but with no accent at all, or do we try to make it authentic, even though they are speaking English? And that was a choice that we made with the audio team and the voice designers very early on. We wanted people with, we didn't want fake accents. We wanted to avoid that at all costs. So that's why the team inside Ubisoft helped us a lot with the casting reviews and making sure that, you know, people were good for the job, I would say, and making sure that, yeah, we had people that could fit their background. And for example, Shori Akdashlu is a good example, because her character, when I first wrote her, she was called differently because she was not from Persia. She was from another part. She was Turkic. And the name was not the same because, you know, Russian is a Persian name.
Right.
And we changed the name because when Shore said yes, we changed the name so that it reflected her background more.
Mm.
And we couldn't keep this character as being Turkic. That wouldn't make any sense. So, yeah, we
cool.
tried to make sure, you know, it fit. And
it shows care. It shows that you care.
Yeah, we care a lot. Yeah. We do. That's genuinely we do.
I mean, that comes through for me. You know, I'm not involved in a lot of behind the scenes, but from everybody I've met and knowing what I know, it's, I don't think I've met someone or heard something about any part of the team that isn't fully on board 100% and like personally committed to the story of Mirage or the design or, you know, I mean, like even looking behind us at the Mirage logo, like the Assassin's
Crest,
logo, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Arabic calligraphy and the design and the theme and the color, and it's just so vibrant and so positive and hard not to feel a little emotional at times. You know, like sometimes I need to take a second, take a breath and kind of like really look and be like, oh, we've never had this.
Mm-hmm.
As like for Middle Eastern representation, it's never been, or Swana and Mina representation. It's never been displayed so unapologetically and so positively. Like that was something Ubisoft said that they were like 100%, like you guys said, no, we're not shying away from this.
Mm.
We're not shying away from the culture. We're not shying away from the Muslim religion. We're not shying away from the design. This is history.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just extremely excited.
Yeah.
So, to delve a little more into Bossum's journey in this game. Now, I'm going to delve in a little spoiler here from Assassin's Creed Valhalla,
mm-hmm.
where we last saw Bossum. That, as I understand it, had the revelation that Bossum is the reincarnation of the Isu Loki. So, will we get to see, if you can tease at all, will
mm-hmm.
we get to see him contend with that shocking realization during the course of the game?
So what I can tell you without spoiling anything is that you definitely get to see the evolution of Bossum, and there is a turning point, definitely. But what is the turning point and at what point is it going to arrive? I'm not going to say.
Yeah, it was definitely cool to I mean, you have coming in as an actor being like, oh, okay, I'm playing a character that's already been established.
Yeah.
And I personally, okay, I know the from, you know, following the cinematics myself, I'm a big Assassin's Creed fan. I was like, oh, interesting. How are they going to do this? And then we would talk about it. And I was like, that makes sense. We kind of have a fresh start at the beginning of his journey.
Mm-hmm.
We have the freedom to show the trauma that he goes through,
yes.
what he's been through, the internal struggles, the nightmares that he's having, his struggle with trying to figure out, like, you know, what does life mean? What does my life mean? What am I supposed to do? I think a lot of us can identify with.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
what do people want from me?
Yeah. What do people want from me? What
yeah.
do I have to offer?
Yes.
There's got to be more to my life than this.
Exactly.
I'm meant for something greater. You know, so it's a really cool story. I'm so happy that we get to kind of be with him for a lot of it.
Yeah.
So one final question for the both of you. Why do you think the Assassin's Creed franchise remains so enduring for so many worldwide? And why do you think the Assassin's Creed order itself is so fascinating?
Huh. Many reasons.
Yeah.
I guess one of the reasons why it's so, I think it's so compelling is that it's very rich in terms of lore. So I think that, you know, when you start diving into Assassin's Creed and you start to connect the dots between the games and the books, the comics and everything, it's fascinating how deep the world is and how many stories were told inside it. So Assassin's Creed is more like it's a universe. It's really dense, and it's also actually pretty challenging when you start diving into it and you want to connect some, you know, all the dots, and you're, you know, afraid of doing some mistakes, but inconsistencies. But it's I think it's why many people actually dive into it, because it's rich and because it's, you know, it supports many stories in different times, you know, different time periods. Can you say that time
mm-hmm.
periods?
Yeah.
So it's actually pretty. It fits the imagination, I think, very much, and you learn a lot with Assassin's Creed too. So I think that's another big point. I love Assassin's Creed, but I love Assassin's Creed mostly because I learn things when I play Assassin's Creed without even knowing it. You know, like, yeah. So and you're not lied to in terms of history. What, you know, you see on the screen. Most of the time, it's really researches behind it, and it's true, and so yeah, maybe learning, maybe diving into a very complex universe, two different things. But I think that's what makes it so compelling and lasting.
I find, like, I mean, I'm a big fan of the franchise, just as, you know, I love video games. I'm a gamer, but I remember playing the first Assassin's Creed and like, oh. Okay, I'm placed in a time period in the Middle East. And the whole idea of, like, having the ability to relive the history of your ancestors through genetic history, like,
yeah,
that your
fantasy.
Genes, yeah, that your genes can hold on to your people. Like, that idea is so fascinating to me. And then I think what Assassin's Creed has consistently been able to do, whether you like the gameplay or not, or whether you agree with the story or not, or whatnot, is that it so beautifully places you in a historical place that you've never been, you know? Like, for me, I found that, you know, Odyssey got really long to play, but I just couldn't stop at moments just looking
wondering,
at the Greek,
yeah.
at the, like, ancient Greece and the water and how vibrant. And I was like, I want to go. I personally want to go and dive in that water, you know? Going to ancient Egypt and
the immersion.
Being in the sand and looking at the pyramids and being able to climb stuff and like, you just don't get to do that.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
you
don't climb pyramids. I do. Must do. Yeah.
I haven't yet.
Okay.
I haven't yet. I haven't gotten that far in Origins yet.
I mean, in real life, you don't. Do
no,
that.
In real life, I've never been to Egypt.
Oh. Okay.
But through Origins, I have.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing, and then on top of that, you hit on story that typically, like, you have a character that's going through trauma or trying to figure something out, and there's,
there's the big story and the more.
Yeah. I think there's so much more. Like, I mean, you take any historical event or any historical place, and you'll have an Assassin's Creed possible game. You know, that's
exactly.
I think it's an amazing blueprint. You know,
we have some work to do.
Yeah.
Still a bit of we have some time periods to cover.
Endless amount, endless potential for storytelling. And
yes.
Again, I'm so excited to play this story. Lee Majdoub, Sarah Beaulieu, thank you both so much for speaking with But Why Though today, and congratulations on the game.
Thank you.
Wait to play it and for others to play it.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great day or evening. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.